Welcome to Life Skills for Kids, Superstar Practical Strategies, your go-to podcast for surviving and thriving with your children. I'm your host, Deb Hopper, and as a parent and an occupational therapist, I understand the reality of getting through each day with the kids. Join me as we delve into tips, tricks, and strategies that you can use today. Hi, and welcome to the Life Skills for Kids podcast. And today I'm here with the lovely April Mandel. Hi, April, how are you?
Hi, Debbie, doing great.
Welcome to the podcast for your first one. Yeah, so I have been to a number of money management conferences and workshops that April and her husband Marcus have presented over the last, two or three years, April, I think it's been.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, coming up close on three.
Yeah, fantastic. And the workshops you've been presenting have been both for adults for money management, but I was really taken by your information on helping kids manage their money. So that's why I invited you on. So thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. Delightful.
So April, do you want to tell us a little bit about your ministry and why you came about doing these workshops?
Yeah, sure. It's not something we're looking to do, but sometimes you just get led into direction. I think the number one qualification towards doing Money Smart Kids is the fact that we have five children. And so I kind of see where that goes. I've always been interested in small business and entrepreneurship. So I grew up with a single mom and we're always really on tight finance. So it's always been fascinating for me and something I've always been interested in. And I've put about a decade into study and improving our own situation. And now we have an opportunity to share things that I wish somebody would have told us when we were in high school, when we were in university, because it would have changed our world. And so now we're trying to pay it forward and help other people on that journey, including our own children. So we're pretty motivated.
Fantastic. And I agree with you. I wish I'd heard about this when I was 10, 12 years old as well.
Yeah, it should be one of the core curriculums at school. It would all start us all off better.
Yes. Yep. So we can all get a head start for our kids. So just to let people know who are listening in the car or on the podcast that we will have a video available with some of the beautiful slides that April's got here if you wanted to rewatch with some visuals as well. So that'll be on the lifeskillsforkids.com.au website. So let's start, April. Let's talk about the concept of entitlement and kids, because that seems to be something that is pervading our families and the, you know, the TV and the marketing that kids see all the time. It's all about, you know, I need to have this right now. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the research is really showing that this entitled mentality is something that parents are really interested in because it is a genuine thing. Parents to come and say, look, my kid, I have to bribe them to get them to do their chores. I have to give them something to get through the grocery store, or they're just don't appreciate what I do for them. We buy them a nice thing, they don't care for it, they leave it out. And then if you talk to them about something, they pass that blame on to somebody else. And it's a real issue of concern with a lot of parents that I talk to. And they say, look, I don't want my kid to be spoiled or selfish. I want a responsible young adult that's going to go forward in life. And it all leads down to that, just that title that we use of entitlement. But it could just be kind of spoiled, or, you know, we have so much richness and availability now, and things are so quick in the society. And so we're looking at what can we do about these little spoiled princesses? How can we make children who, my classic example is, don't leave their socks laying around the house or the yard because they genuinely care for their belongings? And then how can we raise these entitled children to be responsible so that by the time they're 18, they leave home, they're making their own money, they're buying their own phone plans, they pay for their own car and that sort of thing. That's the goal. And most parents don't know quite how to get there or have a lot of questions about that. So that's one of the things I'm very excited to try and help with.
Yeah, fantastic. I totally agree, April. I see that all the time too, you know, with my kids and, you know, with kids in general.
Oh, it's easy to see, even in the best raised children. And when you can turn that curve, which I feel like I'm seeing in some of my children, it's really rewarding. And it's worth the effort that it takes to put in a system. And it really pays off both for them and for you. So yeah, it's fantastic. Just a little quick factoid. They did a survey of kids that don't get this training, and it's totally changed in about the last 20 years. But they're studying, they're finding that 40% of the millennials that are out there, and that's, you know, maybe the next generation above our kids, but they believe they should get a raise every 2 years, no matter what their work performance is. And so we're just aware of that. There is this participation trophy mentality that's out there. And so what I think is wonderful is that teaching kids to handle money, in my opinion, is the cure for entitlement.
Because I guess money is linked to just being able to, it's the power, isn't it, to have access to whatever you want straight away.
If children, this is a simple example, but my children used to be very not excited when their grandparents would send them gifts of clothing, t-shirts and socks and perfectly nice things. We're like, nah, chuck it over there. Now that they buy their own clothing out of their own clothing budget, they are ecstatic to receive gifts of clothing. They are appreciative. They are grateful because now they realize that has a cost. And it didn't have to come from their clothing budget. That's just a little example of how you can totally change your children to an appreciative mentality.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of leads to, you know, how much money do we need to give our children if they have to buy their own clothes? Then $5 a week's not going to really cut it, is it?
No, and you won't start out with your kids buying all their own clothes because they wouldn't know how to handle that much money. If you look at how much you spend on them in a year, you'd be like, no, you're not ready to understand how to use that much. So we'll start them out, say it was with clothing, maybe just with a bit of a budget so that they can buy a special item, something they really long for, a special t-shirt with a character that they like. Or for my son recently, it was a pair of slippers with the color change sequins. And it's not what I would buy, but it lets him have a little bit of money to buy a few items that they really desire and get to feel what that costs. But by the time they're in their preteens and teens, yes, I want them buying all of their own clothing unless it's a gift from me that they really appreciate.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I guess, do we need to back up and talk about, you know, how we teach kids to handle money before we talk about like how much we give them at different ages?
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe let's just see here. Here I've got a slide if you're looking on the video with a cute little toddler giving a curious, confused look. And he says, if money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? And just a little joke, but we know our children start out not understanding the value of money at all. And so that's one of the things to teach is the value of money. Even adults don't always appreciate what's the value of that cold hard cash. But I can be showing you today a little bit of a system where entitlement can be cured. And we can just lay a really strong foundation where parents are not vending machines, where you push a button and cling. And, you know, we see adult children who do that, whose parents still pay their mobile phone bill or their car regos or their rent, or the kids never move out of home. Mm. That habit was formed as a child. And we want to get on top of that. You know, of course, a key principle of that, as I'm putting on the screen here, is that we have to help our children differentiate between wants and needs. And often as parents, we just adore those little children. And where a parent knows for themselves, need to eat, I don't need Macca's and a milkshake today. But when we get to our kids, we can't always sort that out because we just want to give them. We love them so much. But our kids need food, shelter, clothing, love, affection, that sort of thing. They do not have to have a cell phone or the best, latest clothing or that kind of thing or whatever. And kids are smart. So they will learn how to fuss and push your buttons as long as it works. So we want to come up with a different mentality and get them really caring about their belongings and caring you. And the best way to do this is pay your kids. And I'd love to walk you through that, some of what I do is paying your kids at different age levels. Is that all right?
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Because a lot of people ask, one of the top questions I get is, how old does my kid need to be do this? And I say, is your child out of the womb? Well, they're about ready then, you know. At every age, we can learn a little bit. And another question we'll kind of look into that's going to come up is, do you give your kids an allowance? Do you give them pocket money? Do you pay them to do chores? How do you work out this money thing? And I'll tell you as a parent's question I had. And we've tried so many systems with our five boys. And I'll share with you today my idea, but to take my ideas and use them exactly that way for yourself would be like borrowing my toothbrush. It just won't exactly work for you. So take it. The way is not the way, but hearing ideas can help you develop a system that really works for your family. We don't just want to give kids money because that's just feeding that entitlement thing. Like, you're a child, so you get money. So we don't just pay an allowance straight up like that. But what we do is we'll have age-appropriate systems that kids can gradually grow in responsibility with money. So I'll show you kind of what I do here. So if you have a 0 to 4 year old, they have no concept of money. If I give my child 10 cents or $10,000, he would not know the difference. It's money and he's pleased to have it. So we teach them to give at church or through a charity, change from your own pocket. And then we talk about, we communicate what we're doing for them. And it's a great time if you're really able to invest something for them. So we're reining them around the idea of money, but we're not paying them at all. But we do try and teach them that work is a wonderful thing. So if they can help their siblings or their parents with chores, work is fun, work brings joy. That is the best thing that you can be teaching them at that age. Now, where we really get into it was 4 to 9 year olds. And this is where I start kids. Now, I suggest 4 to 9 year olds. That assumes that you're starting this young. I have had parents that come to me with their 16-year-old has never been given more than 50 cents a week of pocket money. In that situation, if your child's never practiced money, you're back here. This is basically step one. Mm-hmm. And until you really master step one, we don't move on.
Okay, clear?
Yep. But generally, in this age bracket, it's quite simple. We just give $1 a week per year of age. The reason we want to give that amount, it's a slowly growing amount. They can learn to handle a little bit more at a time. For parents, it's not too much. If you're just starting out, it's like, oh, from my budget, it's easy to fit in. I can give a four-year-old $4. I have $4, right? I can do that. It's not too much for me as a parent. And we want the child to feel that it takes forever to save up for a large item. Mm-hmm. Because when they become adults, they'll be the same way. And if you're trying to save up for a house deposit or something, or for a car, they learn that skill at this age. So, you know, example would be if you had a six-year-old child, then we give them $6 a week, $312 a year. They're going to manage that money. If you have an older child, you might have to pick a different number. Like, as my older child was hitting to like 12, I said, no, you'll get too expensive. I can't pay $15 a week, $18 a week. So if I was starting an older child, I'd pick a little bit of a reduced number. And the reason it's weekly is that we need to demonstrate for the kids a regular income, and they need to not have to wait too long for that to come again. It needs to keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. This is probably the most time-intensive time for a parent. If you've got one kid, no problem. If you're doing three of these, you know, you're going to have to block out an hour because it takes the kids time to count out the money. So what we do is we have, for this age, we set up a money box, and it has the categories that you would like to use for your child. The classic basic is give, save, spend. Mm-hmm. But I like to divide those up a little bit. So I might have giving be giving to my church or my charity or some kind of regular donation like that. Maybe sponsor a child overseas, something like that. And then I also like them to save up for if their sibling or their parent or they get invited to a birthday party, they're going to buy a present for that person out of their own money they've saved. Even if it means they're only buying a $2 item from the $2 shop, it's something they saved up for, they paid for. And it has so much more meaning than giving mommy's money away.
Yeah.
So that's our giving. And saving, I split up the saving and spending sort of together. And when they're first starting, I limit it to 50 cents a week of pocket money. Mm-hmm. And they go, wow, that's not very much. But whether it's $4, $6, $8, depending on the age of the kid, we still keep 50 cents a week of pocket money. Why? Because if they go to buy a little Hot Wheels car at the store, that costs $2. It takes 4 weeks to save up for that. So we do that. And then we put a good chunk of money in to save for a larger item. And we'll kind of get to how I do that for them.
Yep.
I always, though, allow children to do what adults can do. as an adult, can you not pick up extra work to make extra pay? Certainly.
Yep.
So I will have extra chores around the place that a child could pick up and do. We call that working on commission.
Ah, I love the language you're using to get them set up for, you know, later on.
The hardest part for a parent to do this is the commission you pay them has to be in balance to what they're being paid in their real working life. So they're earning $4 a week, if they're a four-year-old, or maybe it's an eight-year-old, they're earning $8 a week. Well, you can't pay them $10 to wash the car because that's way out of balance. When you're working a real job, nobody's going to come say, how much do you make in a week? Oh, I'll pay you that for a 30-minute job, you know? So we have to keep the payment small, and it's so hard as parents because we can easily give more, but we're setting them up for failure and entitlement, right? What I tell the family, because people go, are you paying the kid? Is this an allowance? No, I want to teach them that we're a family unit. So the question comes up, do you pay them for chores? I will tell you, you are setting yourself up for failure if you pay your kid for chores. Because guess what? They can go, I don't want your old $6. I'm not working this week.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to me. You can do my chores, mommy. You know? Yeah, dad. So we say, no, look, you live in this home as part of this family. We're a family unit. We're a business, however you want to describe it to them. And say, as a member of this family unit, you receive blessings. You receive a house. You receive food. You get transport to school. You get all these opportunities. And as a part of this family, these are the chores you're actually expected to do. You know, you must keep your room clean. Here's another room of the house I expect you to keep clean. There are some pet chores you're going to do. These are things that you will be doing as part of this family. However, as a benefit of being in the family, not only do you have the responsibilities of chores, but you're going to earn a portion of the family money gets distributed to you to take care of and learn to manage. And so it's not just money for no reason, but it's as part of this whole system. And then like an adult, I can always work more to make more on commission.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's always a big deal at every birthday. Now you're five. You're going to be getting $5. That's fantastic. And guess what? You're also going to be getting more chores. So it's a time when we always at the same time, and they accept that pretty well. You're older now.
Mm-hmm.
More responsibility and more privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's a beautiful balance. Do you have any questions about that for that age bracket?
No, I like how you mentioned about with the increased pocket money or increased, what would you call that? Increased wage or what do you call it for the 0 to 4 year olds or the 4 to 9 year olds?
We call it payday. Like they've gone to
payday.
Work. We call it payday in our house and the kids get very excited. It's payday.
Yep.
And then what we do with their payday is we're going to take that money. And what I do for them is we buy some little containers at Big W or whatever that all snap shut. I love the click lock ones, the lap over the top, because I've tried many other systems and the money somehow gets spilled, kicked, dumped, and you don't know how much was supposed to be in each category. So we'll label a little box for each category that we want to do. And for each kid, it might be different. Maybe they're saving up for a bike and there's a bike box. Maybe you start them, they get not at 4, but maybe at 8, you start a clothing box or whatever. And we discuss together how much of each pay is going to go into each box and let them think about it, have some choice, but I do limit no more than 50 cents into the pocket money. The other ones they can kind of choose around what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put that all into a bigger box, lock it up and put it on a shelf so they can't muddle it up between paydays.
Yep. And what I'll do, I'll take, because I use a system at home with my kids and they are older, they are 12 and 14. But when they're younger, we set them up with your system and they love it. They get their payday and they go and open the little boxes and they divide it up. And yes, I'll put some photos with the podcast as well about what that might look like.
Oh, fantastic. You know, it leads them to some real discoveries. You know, because I pay them when they're little in 10-cent coins, so it's easy to divide up and it looks like a lot of money. And they take their 10-cent coins and they can have a whole box full. And then, like recently, my four-year-old who's just been started, he wants to buy a watch. Do I have enough now to buy a watch? not even close. We didn't realize how much money it takes. You know, you're going to need huge box full of these 10-cent coins, you know, maybe 800 of them. I don't know. You need a massive amount, maybe 80. Anyway, you need a huge pile to be able to buy some of the things that they want to do. And it teaches delayed gratification.
Yes.
Which is really a marvelous character trait that we're providing for them. So let's say they've mastered this system. Mm-hmm. There comes an age when you just give them the money and they can divide it in the boxes. They're doing it well. Maybe they're approaching 8, 9, 10, and you've opened up a bank account for them, and they're putting their largest amount of their money, maybe somewhere near half, into a savings, and they're learning to pile that up. And you can go, I can see you can handle money quite well, and you understand how to save for things. Everything that we're doing here, you seem to have mastered. Then when you feel they've reached that, you can move them to the next stage. Now, I suggest that's around 9, 10 years old. I've had a child go to it sooner, largely because it's easier for me and help them do it once a month instead of every week. But they also had been in the system. Our family had been doing this, and they've been doing it since they were 4. So they've been 5 years in the system. And I'm like, you can move on. Other times, like I said, if I started a teenager that's 16 and has never handled money, we're going to take our time before we move to this kind of monthly system. Mm-hmm. But the next stage is going to be for like your 10 to 18 year olds. Mm-hmm. And in this stage of life, I think my child's really starting to grow up. When they're 18, I would like them to be financially independent except for room and board, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe a couple other things I choose to provide. But for the most part, by the time they're 18, I want them to have a job. I want them to be able to buy their first car, pay for their fuel, their regos, their mobile phone plans, all these sorts of things, all their clothing. They should actually be earning that, and I'm not paying them anymore mm-hmm. at a certain point. Probably for me, that's about 18 or so when they're heading off to uni. You're not going to be sending them paydays. That doesn't mean you'll never help them.
Yeah.
But you want to create that wonderment of feeling independent. That's so great. The thing the teenagers are desperately screaming for us to give them, say, you can have it. Here you go. And then they can have some epic failures with their money. Mm-hmm. That's expected. That things will go very wrong for them at some point so that they can learn those lessons when the penalty is small. So they're not learning it with huge salaries or with a very poor house purchase or anything like that. So mm-hmm. we want to have the consequences when they're small. Mm-hmm. So for these guys, you have to think, I actually do spend a lot on a teenager. Mm-hmm. Even if though I provide their food and their board and their electricity and these sort of things, if you just add up their sport fees, their clothes, their excursions, their camps, their things I run around for them. I don't know. You just add up, and ideally a parent will be tracking their expenditures. So you have a good idea, but I buy them toys or, you know, components for their, you know, for their computers or something. What am I spending on my teen in a year? And if you've been having them on a payday system, it will be less than if you've never started this, but I look at that for a whole year, and it's a not inconsiderable amount when you see it all in a lump. But then I divide that by 12, and then I give that to them every month on a payday. So mm-hmm. they're handling, I'm not spending more than I would normally spend. You make a reasonable, this is what it would actually take to clothe you, to get mm-hmm. you places you need to go, to pay for the activities that we will be doing anyway, groups, camps, whatever it is that you're on. We'll put that all in there. And then we'll divide that in 12 and we'll give that to you once a month. And what we do is, and you can email me or I can send it to Debbie, I move them onto a spreadsheet. And you go, whoo, wah, parents are scared of a spreadsheet. And I like to say, have you seen your child build a Minecraft building with a redstone door that automatically triggers? Your kids can handle a spreadsheet. Maybe better, quite a bit better than we can, but not a problem. We'll give them a few lessons. We get them running. And we teach them, now you're going to need to start having your own emergency fund. Save something free because you don't know what might come up. Suddenly you thought you were good on shoes for a year and then the dog chewed them. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to need a little emergency fund and you need a better spending plan. We're going to have some more categories. And then they have to know that generally if they run out of money, you're not going to bail them out. Now, that doesn't mean we're not kind or whatever, but if you spent all your money on clothes and now you're out of jeans, well, you know, better get a job or earn some extra money and go to an op shop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Teaching some responsibility. And again, they can always do extra money on commission, or they can get a J-O-B job. It's a wonderful place to find guaranteed cash. And then they could start a small business. So how could they do that? Well, I think we're going to have another podcast in the future, maybe talk about.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Today's generation is actually, there's a rising interest in starting their own little businesses and just need like a little key to get started. And they can make far better than minimum wage doing their own little business. They can make some significant money. Any questions or comments about the teen section? Then I might throw out a few little spending tips that are going to decrease parents' stress so much that they might kiss my toes.
So you mentioned some extra categories for the older kids. Is that coming up or do you want to mention that?
Oh, sure. Good value. Yeah. So it's very much child directed, but I suggest, again, we're going to do the giving. So in categories those kids are interested, including gifts for others, their spending gets a lot greater at this age. So they have a little pocket money that they can just spend however they want. But they might also say, well, I'm saving for a computer now. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to save for a new car. If you back up, if you say, oh, Johnny, what kind of car do you think you'd like to be driving when you're, you know, 17, you get your P's? And they might pick out something, the new car lot, and you say, okay, well, let's look at how much you'd need to save a month to get there. Oh, maybe not. And they work their way back and I say, okay, you know, maybe a $3,000 to $5,000 car would be a good solid start for you. Well, now you're 12. How much will you need to be saving every month or year so that when you're 17, you can get there? And oh, those lights start to pop and they start thinking, yeah, I want wheels. I want independence. And so we start them before they might be thinking about it. We introduce that. If they want a computer, there is no way I'm buying their computer. They need to save and earn it so that they care for it. So it's often my kids will have a big category or two. And then clothing definitely comes in at this point because I'm giving them all the clothing money I plan to spend and save up for annual events. Maybe they go to a summer camp or something. You know, well, that might be $300 to $400. You need to plan every month. And so in the spreadsheet, we pile up towards that goal.
Yeah. So can you give people an idea, you know, we're recording this in Australia, so I guess it's, you know, Australian cost of living, about how much would a teenager need, you know, to cover those basics and especially like the clothes? Can you give people an idea of like a range?
Sure. It definitely depends on the way your family's structured and what your family normally spends. So there are things you've got to consider. For instance, if my teenager wants a haircut, they're budgeting that in. Mm-hmm. However, mom cuts are free, or you can get your brother to cut your hair, no problem. And in fact, you can make a business of cutting your friend's hair, hint, hint. So it kind of depends. Some of my girlfriends, when they create their budget, the hair budget is actually a major line item, and I choose to cut my own. So it can depend a little bit. I'm just using this as an example of in your own family unit, what you value can swing it.
Yep.
It also can depend on if your children have a home business. So if we talk about next time, I include in their budget that I estimate they're going to make some money out of the home business that we operate together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not actually going to give them that. They're going to earn that and helps get to the ballpark.
Yep.
But for the absolute basics for my children on our family, and we are reasonably economic about it, the kind of the bare minimum is $85 a month is what we've calculated out. Mm-hmm. And that I know in my head won't cover all their clothing. That means once a year, I'm going to buy them a nice business outfit or church outfit or wedding outfit, something dressy that's outside of their budget, realistically. Mm-hmm. And once a year, they don't know it and they never are to expect it, but I will take them to buy a new pair of hiking shoes, a new pair of running shoes, a new pair of dress shoes. And I kind of know I'm going to throw a little bit of that in, or if we're going to go snow skiing, I will say, as a gift to you, mommy and daddy will actually be paying for your snow gear. And what do I get? Gratefulness, thankfulness, because they know how much is in their clothing budget. And so I'm aware that I'm going to pitch in a little bit. But to cover the basics, for our family of teenagers, and it is just the basics, 80, if you're in that range, I can't imagine you'd do much less than $80, $80 to $100 a month,
yep,
should allow them to budget for the essentials. But I expect, I anticipate, and I plan for the fact that they won't find that to be enough.
Yep.
Because the lack of enough, but mom, I want to go here. I'd like to, you know, I've got all these other things I want to do. Fantastic. I've got all these chores you can do on commission. I've got, you can go get a job. You can, you know, start a business. What do they say? Invention is the mother of necessity. Or no, sorry, I got the upside down. Necessity is the mother of invention. And the fact that this barely covers what they need is exactly what I want, because I want them to get creative and go, mom, I want three times that. Fantastic. Good. What are you going to do? How can you make that extra?
Yes. Fantastic. And I spoke to you, I think it was just after Christmas, and just said, look, we want to start this with our boys, you know, about how much. And I think we're giving them $50 a fortnight. We kind of have gone halfway in that bigger payment. We can manage it twice a month, not just once a month to start with. And we have a family Easter camp coming up. And I said, look, you know, because it's only a quarter of the way through, we want you to pay for, you know, at least a quarter to a third of your activity fees. So they know they have to budget a bit more in these 3 months coming up to Easter.
Yep. We've said, like, our family is going to go on a holiday and mommy and daddy will pay for one snow skiing day. If you want another day, no problem. Start saving. So the end of choices. Life is about choices and priorities, you know, and teaching them you can't buy everything. So what do you value? What are you going to put towards?
Oh, I just love it. I think it's such a wise idea. And it's really self-regulation in regards to spending, isn't it? You know, I work with kids with self-regulation with, you know, behavior, emotions, but, you know, adults, you know, we all struggle with self-regulation of, oh, that's a really nice dress or shoes or necklace. Can we really afford it?
But teaching kids there's an opportunity cost. So yes, I have $100 in my clothing budget. I could buy that pair of trendy jeans. It's $80. I have the money. It's in my budget. I could do it. But if I choose that one, then I'm going to be choosing $2 op shop clothes for the entire rest of my budget because it won't fit in. And I want them to choose that. I do not interfere. I don't helicopter them. I stand back. The budget is the budget. Great. You got it. You know, you can spend it, because at this age, they've learned to do it without guidance, as long as it's not going to harm them. You know, I always, as a parent, observe the right to step in and say, no, that's not helpful for you. Mm-hmm. I'm still your parent. But as long as it's a purchase that they can afford, then great. And again, I hope they make a few really bad decisions so they can learn that lesson now, not when they're 35 and they've got a wife and children and, you know, that sort of thing to maintain and a mortgage. And
yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned for them to pay for their own mobile phone bills. I'm just wondering, for those teenagers, do you expect them to buy their own phone?
This is a family choice. It would not be unreasonable to expect them to buy their own phone. I have decided that just for me and mine, I will buy you a used iPhone. We like Apple products, or any kind of cheap phone that will work, in the range of $200-$300 for your first phone, because it's actually a convenience for me. Mm-hmm. It means I can contact you when I'm worried about where you are, when you're with your friends. Once they get their peas, if I want them to pick something up for me, I'm like, I will get you started. If I didn't want them to, though, I could increase their pay. Instead of like you doing $100 a month, I could say $110 a month and start saving for your phone. And that's not a bad thing either. Just take some parental pre-planning. And when we first got them, I actually bought their first year of plan. That's our family's choice. Mm-hmm. But get some set up and say, but next year, guess what? Same thing our family chose. Like, our eldest is just on his piece. He saved up and bought his car himself. Some parents will match 50-50. Mm-hmm. Whatever works for your family. So we chose, you buy the car outright, we'll pay your first year's rego and green slip and insurance and all that, because we expect you to use this car to get a job and to earn money, so that next year you'll be able to pay for all that yourself. So we're getting you into the door of getting out of the door and earning more money on your own. So,
oh, I love it. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. We might leave it there for today, but yes, I'd love you to come back, and I'm sure people are interested in, you know, how we can help kids to earn a bit of pocket money, not just with, you know, getting a casual job somewhere after school, but ideas for having their own little business.
Yep, certainly. Anybody that starts this would probably come up with a lot of questions about the details because we barely scratch the surface. So if you have questions, I'm always available to email. I love to chat to people. moneysmartkids@yahoo.com. You can always reach me and I'll get right back to you. And then I'll look forward to talking to you, Debbie. We can go into, I have so many parents that say, my child wants to start a small business. Kids these days are very keen. There's so many opportunities, but the parents are the ones that go, I don't even know how to start. Yeah, fantastic, because we can cover that in another podcast and we'll just give you dozens of ideas of how your kid in any situation can start a little business at home or in the neighborhood.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. So we will put a copy of the video on our website and also your spreadsheet and your email as well so people can contact you.
Yeah, fantastic. I've surely had a great time sharing this with you. And I love to hear that you've taken it into your own home, put it into practice, and you're trialing it out. So it's a bit of a proven concept for you.
Yep. No, it's good so far.
It's a learning curve. It's a learning curve. The more ideas that you can get, the better a plan you'll have in the end. So this is a set of ideas and hopefully you add to it and everyone will take it and make it even better. And if you have a really good idea how to improve it, send it my way because we're always looking to share with other moms and dads.
Will do. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for joining us on the Life Skills for Kids podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining me on the Life Skills for Kids podcast, providing you with superstar parenting tips and empowering you to be the rock in your child's life. Do you have an anxious child and feel overwhelmed and unsure how to help them? Check out my book, Teaching Kids to Manage Anxiety, Superstar Practical Strategies, to help your anxious child move from fear and worry to confidence and peace. See you next time.